lift you from all your fears. You will hear my voice. I claim you as my choice. Be still and know I am here. I am hope for all who are hopeless. I am eyes for all who long to see. In the shadows of the night, I will be your light. Come and rest in me. Do not be afraid, I am with you. I have called you each by name. Come and follow me, I will bring you home. I love you and you. I am strength for all the despairing, healing for the ones who dwell in shame. All the blind will see, the lame will all run free, and all will know my name. Do not be afraid, I am with you. I have called you each by name. Come and follow me, I will bring you home. I love you and you are mine. I am the word that leads all to I am the peace the world cannot give. I will call your name, embracing all your pain. Stand up now, walk and live. Do not be afraid, I am with you. Follow me, I will bring you home. I love you and you are mine. Do not be afraid, I am with you. I have called you each by name. Come and follow me, I will bring you home.
Good morning, and thanks for joining us for worship. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. It is a busy day today at church. There have been a steady stream of voters driving through the parking lot. The woodcutters are out cutting wood, I assume, and the office is welcoming visitors. Meanwhile, our musicians are getting ready to sing for you. And the preschoolers are outside because they're outside all day long, all the time these days. They're running outside. They're learning about nature. They're making new friends. Meanwhile, mask teachers are risking their health to help families through this pandemic, loving those children and teaching them how to follow directions. So why am I standing in the church graveyard, the place where our members and friends are buried? because November 1st is All Saints Sunday, and each granite-facing stone is a reminder of a dear friend or a choir member, a cookie baker or a grandmother. Yes, I love this place because I loved these people, and I give thanks for having shared the journey with them. But there is more. There's always more. Where were you in the year 1953? Eisenhower was in the White House. Peter Pan was on the big screen. Mickey Mantle was in the outfield for the New York Yankees. And no one had ever heard of Elvis Presley before. On November 1st, 1953, in a wide spot in the road called Freeland, Washington, Trinity Lutheran Church was born in the mind of God and in the hearts of 37 charter members. Yes, we would not be here today if they had not been here 67 years ago. They sacrificed for us, and we have all benefited from their faithfulness. It's All Saints Sunday. It is the 67th birthday for Trinity Lutheran Church. So get ready. Get ready to worship. Get ready to smile. And get ready to cry, for you're going to see lots of images in this service. Images of saints, images of dear loved ones, images of terminal humans who have crossed over to the other side. Our opening hymn, When the Saints Go Marching In. So let's march in to worship together. We're glad that you're here.
We're all standing in the footsteps of those who came before, and we'll all be reunited on that new and sunlit shore. Oh, when the saints go marching in, oh, when the saints go marching in, oh Lord, I want to be in that number. When the saints go marching in, and when the sun refused to shine, and when that sun refused to shine, oh Lord, I want to be in that number. When the saints go marching in, oh, when the saints go marching in, saints go marching in. Oh Lord, I want to be in that number when the saints go marching in. And on that hallelujah day, and on that hallelujah day, oh Lord, I want to be in that number when the saints.
It's All Saints Sunday, a special 2020 edition. Wherever you are today, it is good that we are here together. Let us pray. Send your Holy Spirit that we may be uplifted on this day when we celebrate the faith of those who gave birth to Trinity Lutheran Church. We celebrate and we mark the passing too of dear saints who are no longer with us, those who have journeyed on before us. May we claim our place in line with those saints joyfully living and serving in sunny seasons of joy and in pandemic uncertainty.
May we, like those who have gone before us, put our trust in you. We pray in the strong name of Jesus. Amen. My friends, if you have been mourning or feeling a little poor of spirit, or if you are just longing for a new day of justice, hang on for just one moment, because we are headed up to Coopville. Barbara Benway is going to share good news with us. She will be reading a portion of Jesus' first sermon, part of the Beatitudes. Barbara, over to you.
The reading today is from the 5th chapter of Matthew. Jesus saw the crowds. He went up the mountain, and after he sat down, his disciples came to him. Then he began to speak and taught them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of God. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. They will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called the children of God." The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Thanks be to God.
Thanks, Barbara. Give our love to Mike, and know that we are praying for your dear ones, Zane, Amber, and Hannah. Carl is going to sing for us at this time.
When it's all been said and done, there is just one thing that matters. Did I do my best to live for truth? Did I live my life for you? When it's all been said and done, all my treasures will mean nothing. Only what I've done for love's reward will stand the test of time. Lord, your mercy is so great that you look beyond our weakness and find purest gold in miry clay, making sinners into saints. I will always sing your praise here on earth and ever after, for you've shown me heaven's my true home when it's all been said and done. You're my life when life is gone. When it's all been said and done, there is just one thing that matters. Did I do my best to live for truth? Did I live my life for you? Lord, I live my life for you.
Thank you, Carl. There are very few visions of heaven in the Bible. In the 7th chapter of the book of Revelations, the citizens of heaven are described as those who have come out of the great ordeal. The great ordeal. That could mean persecution, or it could just mean 2020, or simply the great ordeal of daily life and hardships for each and every human in each and every era of history. The last vision of heaven is found in Revelation, the 21st chapter. God will be with them. God will wipe every tear from their eyes, and death will be no more. Mourning and crying and pain will be no more. That's right. Those who come out of the great ordeal will shed only happy tears. The sermon title for this morning, Terminal Humans in a Pandemic World. All Saints is a celebration of those who have gone before us. Its roots go back some 1,700 years. Why? Because humans have always been terminal. And humans, if they realize it or not, have always lived in a pandemic world. All Saints is a celebration of those who have gone before us, our parents, our grandparents, aunts and uncles, our husbands and wives, our Sunday school teachers, our high school teachers, our lifelong friends, and our church friends. Friends like fabric artist Suzanne Ramsey, knitter extraordinaire Paul Magnuson, endowment chair Jim Thiel, outdoorsman and woodcutter Ken Erstad, charter member Nora Josephson, and breaded fish drummer and visionary Steve Schreckengost. And this year we lost our former church organist, woodworker and World War II hero, Win Ewing. And we all remember our eccentric uncle and the king of impromptu announcements, Bill Curtis. Remembering their memories will bring a smile to our face and perhaps a tear to our eyes as well. How blessed we were to share the journey of life with them, and how we have missed them every minute since they left. All Saints, a celebration of those who have gone before us. You may want to pause the video for just a moment and speak out loud the names of those saints who have touched your life and blessed your journey. If you are worshiping with others, take some time to tell a story or two about these dear ones. And if you're worshiping alone, I would encourage you to write their names on a piece of paper in bold script and say a prayer of thanksgiving for them. Now, don't worry about time. I promise you that I'll be waiting right here for you when you return. My grandfather, Grandpa Lindus, was a Norwegian sharecropper, a man of the earth, and a man of faith. And he died on All Saints Day, November 1st, 1984. I was 2 months into my pastoral internship on Bainbridge Island. I was sitting at my desk writing a sermon for All Saints Sunday. The phone rang. My grandfather had died, and a little bit of me died that day as well. I was very lucky to grow up with all four of my grandparents living very close at hand, and we saw them all the time. But to be honest, I do not remember even a single time when either of my grandfathers got down on the floor to play with me, and I am quite certain that they never babysat me, not alone, anyway. My great-grandparents, I never met them. They were gone before I was born. Did you meet your grandparents? Did you meet your great-grandparents? Are you yourself a grandparent or great-grandparent now? Now, stay with me for a minute. we're going to venture into some higher math. You had two sets of grandparents. That would be four grandparents in total. Are you with me so far? And if you knew them or you didn't know them, you had eight great-grandparents. Now, as you move back in time, as the decades pass, the grandparent thing gets a little crazy. You see, you, my friends, have one complicated family tree. Let me see if I can help you with this. If you go back 200 years to the year 1820, you would have 1,024 great-grandparents. Well, eighth generation great-grandparents, to be more accurate. And if you kept going back to 1720, that's right, just 300 years, you would have 16,384 great-great-great-great-great-great-great-grandparents. Now, is it just me? Or is that all just a little mind-blowing? And if you go way back to the beginning, there would be a young couple who lived in a garden by the name of Adam and Eve. Now, I know that science does not affirm the existence of Adam and Eve, and we do believe in science, don't we? But scientific genetic study is clear. Most of us share DNA with very few, maybe two, ancient great-grandparents. You see, science and faith agree that we have common parents. People of faith simply know their names. Billions of humans coming from the same great-grandparents. And what do they all have in common? They were terminal. Terminal humans living in a pandemic world. When the creation stories of Genesis came into being, the nomadic Jews were trying to find meaning in life. They were trying to find their place in the universe. And they sought to figure out how it was that their Creator God was active in history and in their lives. In other words, they were asking the exact same questions that people of faith ask today. Where is God in my suffering? Where was God when my husband suddenly died? Does God care about my marriage? Does God care about my son or my daughter? Can God forgive my sins? And perhaps the scariest question of all, is there really a God? After a day of leading a small herd of sheep and goats around the dusty terrain of Palestine in an attempt to find green pastures and still waters, the tired nomadic Jews would make a camp. They would set up a tent or two, secure the sheep for the night, build a fire, and sit under the stars of heaven. The children would gaze in wonder. The children needed a bedtime story. Where would they turn for their bedtime story? Of course, they would turn to Grandma, the Jewish grandmother. Tell us, Grandma, where do those stars come from? Where do the animals and the plants come from? Now, the story that followed was not scientific. No, it was a confession of faith. And it started like this. In the beginning, God created. It started with a belief that there was intelligent design in the universe. Now, we may disagree about God's name, but it would be a stretch to think that this was all some cosmic coincidence or accident. Creation is filled with the evidence of intelligent design. Look at our bodies. Look at the complexity of the human eye. Look at the magnificent diversity of planet Earth. Grandma started with God. It was a confession of faith that could not be proven, or disproven. In the beginning, God created. And then the children wanted to know, how long did it take, Grandma? How long did it take God to create all of this? And where did God start?
In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Look up to the heavens. God started there, and for the next 5 days, God created every creeping thing and flying bird and fish of the sea.
But what about us, Grandma? You did not include us. You've not told us the part where God created us, Grandma. Please tell us that one.
On day 6, God created humans, a man and a woman, our first grandparents. That was a long, long time ago. The humans were made in the very image of God. God took great care when you were created. You see, the humans were special, and they were given a special calling.
A special calling. What was it, Grandma? What was this calling?
God asked us to take care of everything else. God asked us to care for the sheep and the goats. God asked us to care for the water and the soil and the air. Little boys and girls, no mistakes. All special. All created in the image of God.
And then what happened, Grandma?
Then God was tired, like you, my precious ones. God had worked for 6 straight days, and it was time to rest. The fire is about out, and morning will come soon. It is time for bed, time to rest. Good night, moon, and the red balloon, and the cow jumping over the moon. Good night, my little loves. Off to bed with you.
Off to bed with you. You see, our first story was a confession of faith, not science. Humans trying to find meaning and purpose in life. Humans trying to understand how this higher intelligence, this God, was active in creation still and in their lives every day. It is our first story, and there are some insightful truths contained in this story. First of all, we are a part of creation. Now, we are certainly unique in our creative capacity. Humans are artistic, musical, curious, capable of scientific study. We are problem solvers. Humans have a tremendous capacity for good, but also, as history tells us, for evil. Humans long to love and be loved in return. The story tells us that we have come from the same parents. Again, go back 300 years and you have 16,384 grandparents. What do you think those numbers would look like if you go back another 3,000 or 4,000 years? Yes, we have the same creator. We have the same parents. We are a part of the same family. But we have been divided. We have been divided by human constructs. We have created borders where none existed. We became tribal. We carry flags to define our clan or our country, but we are all a part of the same family. We have the same parents. We have the same creator, black or yellow, brown or white. They are precious in God's sight. We are all a part of the same human family, gay or straight, Republican or Democrat, liberal or conservative, young or old, slave or free. We share the same family tree, and we are chosen, blessed to be a blessing and never blessed in isolation. God has chosen us to rise above the animals, to see with intelligent eyes, to love and care for each other, and to care for creation which has been entrusted to us. We are chosen. We are called. We are uniquely placed as stewards of planet Earth and God's diverse and beautiful created order that surrounds us. And we are terminal. We are terminal humans. We are terminal humans in a pandemic world. 2020 has reminded us that our time on Earth is limited, that our days are uncertain and certainly unpredictable, and all the technology and all of the achievement cannot change our status. We are terminal humans. The candles that burn this day remind us of our terminal condition in which we live and we die. Our bodies and our minds are terminal. We are dust, and to dust we shall return. Now, I might ask you, is that good news or is that bad news? I would maintain it's really not news at all. Not if you've been paying any attention. Not if you've been going to any funerals, not if you have witnessed the burning candles on this first Sunday in November each and every year, not if you've been looking in the mirror only to discover there your mother or your grandfather staring back at you. Yes, this is not news at all. We may have been lulled into a false sense of security, forgetting that pandemics and death have always been a part of the human story. Yes, we are terminal humans in a pandemic world. And if that's news to you, you simply have not been paying attention. So what happened to your 16,384 12th generation great-grandparents? Have you seen them? Of course you haven't seen them, because they are gone. We humans are like grass, a flower quickly fading, a wave tossed in the ocean. When the wind passes over us, we vanish and we are remembered no more. Like our 16,384 great-grandparents, whose graves go unvisited and names are forgotten, whose stories have been washed away like sandcastles in a rising tide. Terminal humans in a pandemic world. Good news or bad news? Or not news at all. I'm going with good news. Now, this may sound strange, but I find it to be comforting that I will one day leave this world. You see, those whose candles burn, they are not lost. Now, they may be forgotten by history or ancestry, but they are not forgotten by God. Their remains have certainly returned to the earth. Their memories may have faded, but they have returned to the one who knit them together in their mother's womb. You see, there is only one place to go when we leave this world, and we don't get to vote on it. We will return to God. We will return to the one who formed us. You can believe that, or you cannot believe it, but you cannot change reality. And the reality is that we are terminal humans, terminal humans in a pandemic world. We are all related. We are sisters and brothers, the immigrant, those who languish in prison, those who wander in search of clean water or daily bread, the obnoxious uncle who likes to argue about politics. Yes, we are all related. We all come from the same parents. We are gifted then with ordered seasons and mysterious decades on planet Earth. We are called to care for creation and each other. Our journey, fleeting and dangerous, and there are no promises of safe passage. And in this uniquely human journey, we are blessed with loved ones and long summer days on Whidbey Island and long dark winter nights We are blessed with neighbors and friends and food and nature. We are blessed to be a blessing. God has work for us to do. Terminal. Let's call it what it is and be set free by that truth. We are terminal in a pandemic world. Now, that would be terrifying if we believed that God was vengeful, that God was angry, that God was waiting to punish us and sentence us to an eternity in Dante's Inferno. Our fleeting days would be consumed with dread if we believed that God desired to punish us for missteps and mistakes on earth. But no, God is slow to anger. God's mercy knows no bounds. God will not protect us from pandemic realities or the disastrous consequences of our own choices. But God has promised that we are loved, we are forgiven of all of our sins, and we are never alone. Nothing can separate us from the love of God, not sin, not addiction, not politics, not cancer, not dementia, not even unbelief. Nothing can separate us from the love of God. A God who waits with open arms, the open arms of a prodigal father or mother waiting to welcome us home. Yes, we have hope. We live as people of hope. Terminal humans, yes. There's no denying that. But we do not live without hope. The truth will set us free to live in response to God's grace, to live in response to God's grace, knowing that we will die, but that reality will help us to live and to treat every precious day on earth as a gift. I give thanks this day for the candles that burn, for the saints that I have known, and for the promise that we will one day be reunited. Yes, death will not have the last word. My friends, we are children of the same parents. Our family trees are full of the same terminal humans. Those who have gone before us in the great ordeal and the terminal humans who journey on still, living precariously through the pandemic of 2020. So let me end with a question for all of us to ponder this week. Given the fact that everyone you meet shares your blood, that everyone you meet shares your fate, that everyone you meet is terminal, let me ask you, how do you want to treat them? Carl is going to sing for us at this time.
When I get where I'm going, on the far side of the sky, the first thing that I'm gonna do is spread my wings and fly. I'm gonna land beside a lion and run my fingers through his mane. Or I might find out what it's like to ride a drop of rain. Yeah, when I get where I'm going, there'll be only happy tears. I will shed the sins and struggles I have carried all these years, and I'll leave my heart wide open. I will love and have no fear. Yeah, when I get where I'm going, don't cry for me down here. I'm gonna walk with my granddaddy, and he'll match me step for step. And I'll tell him how I missed him every minute since he left. And then I'll hug his neck, yeah, when I get where I'm going, there'll be only happy tears. I will share the sins and struggles I
and I'll leave my heart wide open. I will love and have no fear. Yeah, when I get where I'm going, don't cry for me down here. So much pain and so much darkness in this world we stumble through. All these questions I can't answer, and so much work to do. But when I get where I'm going, and I see my Maker's face, I'll stand forever in the light of His amazing grace. Yeah, when I get where I'm going, yeah, when I get where I'm going, there'll be only happy tears. Hallelujah. I will love and have no fear when I get where I'm going. Yeah, when I get where I'm going. We
lift our hearts to God now in prayer. Each petition will end. God of mercy and our response, hear our prayer. Let us pray.
Let us pray in communion with all the saints on earth and heaven, with the faithful in all ages, and in the name of Jesus. We bring before you all our needs, trusting that you will hear them as we pray, in gratitude for all the good and holy people who have blessed our lives. God of mercy, hear our prayer. In gratitude for those who have spoken up for justice and peace, God of mercy, hear our prayer. In gratitude for those who have been made to suffer or who have been imprisoned for their work, God of mercy, hear our prayer. O God, on this All Saints Day, when we celebrate the faithfulness and courage of those who have lived their lives in your Son's name, we are both inspired and challenged. Patient God, help us forget what might have been, what we might have done. Remind us that even the most conspicuous saints of the church, even the bravest, were ordinary people, subject to the same mixed feelings about their own worth and potential. Help us to focus on you and on that which you call us to do and be. Empower us with the Holy Spirit. God of mercy, hear our prayer. God of compassion, bring healing and hope to those who grieve, suffer pain, or have been affected in any way by the effects of COVID-19. We remember those who have died, and we pray for those who mourn for them. Let us know your compassion, which calms our troubled hearts and shelters our anxious souls. God of mercy, hear our prayer. In this election season, guide those who would lead to have a servant heart. Let the hungry be filled, the poor be lifted, and every tear be wiped away. Guide the leaders of all communities that justice may prevail throughout the world and that hope might be rekindled in our hearts. Let the walls between us become bridges to greater understanding so we see Christ in others and trust in the value and goodness of all people. God of mercy, hear our prayer. For these prayers and all these prayers, yet unspoken, known only to you, we trust in your mercy through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
The peace of the Lord be with you always. Please share a sign of peace and greeting with one another.
Peace be with you.
Peace be with you.
Peace be with you.
Peace be with you.
Peace be with you. Stay safe.
Just a few announcements today. First of all, thank you to Joanne Guernsey for providing these beautiful altar flowers that are behind me this morning. Thank you, Joanne. That was a gift to us. Now, if you haven't had a chance to set up your home altar, we'd encourage you to do so. A Bible, a cross, perhaps a candle, some bread and wine, crackers and juice. God will come to us in common elements to remind us that we are not alone. The adult forum this morning and every Sunday is available online on Zoom at 9:30 on Sunday mornings. If you would like to connect with the adult forum, let us know in the church office. And finally, a word about Election Day. The sanctuary will be open on Election Day next Tuesday from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. It will be open, just open. Candles burning, open for your prayers, prayers for our country, prayers for our leaders. May we all get past this election and unite once again for the good of all. And then we thank you. Thank you for your ongoing support of the work here at Trinity Lutheran Church. Blessed to be a blessing. We thank you for your support. We're going to move now to the celebration of Holy Communion.
And so we gather around this table, remembering a Thursday night in an upper room in Jerusalem. Jesus took the bread and gave thanks. He broke the bread and gave it to those who were about to betray him, saying, "Eat this. This is my body given for you. Do this for the forgiveness of sins. Do this for the remembrance of me." And then he took the cup. He lifted it to heaven and gave thanks. Then he gave it for all to drink, saying, "This is my blood, the blood of the new covenant, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin." All are welcome. Either all are welcome at this table or all will be excluded. Please share this holy meal now with each other. The body of Christ given for you, the blood of Christ shed for you.
As a kid, I never wanted new days growing old. I didn't want to go to sleep and so let any day go. Mom tried to convince me as I lay there in my bed. It's time to let old days go, time to look ahead. And she'd sing rockabye, hushabye, time to renew. Close your eyes knowing how much I love you, so much has happened, so much more awaits when you awaken on a new day. Mama sung my own kids to sleep, telling them all the same thing she told me. When she tell them about all a new day would bring, I'd stand in the hallway listening to her sing. Rock-a-bye, hush-a-bye, time to renew. Close your eyes knowing how much I love you. So much has happened, so much more awaits when you awaken on a new Mom tells us she's ready. Doctors say that it's time. Families around her bed saying goodbye. Kids, grandkids, great-grandkids forming a ring. As she closes her eyes, we begin to sing. Rock-a-bye, hush-a-bye, time to renew. Close your eyes knowing how much we love you. So much has happened, so much more awaits when you awaken on a new So much has happened, so much more awaits when you awaken on a new day.
Now may the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ keep you now and always in God's grace. And as you stay home or as you depart, now receive the benediction. May God bless you and keep you. May God's face shine on you with mercy and grace. May the Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our closing hymn, written in the midst of the Great Depression in 1929, Albert Brumley's I'll Fly Away.
Some glad morning when this life is o'er, I'll fly away to a home on God's celestial shore. I'll fly away. I'll fly away, oh glory. I'll fly away. When I die, hallelujah, by and by, I'll fly away. When the shadows of this life have flown, oh, I'll fly away. Like a bird from prison bars has flown, I'll fly away. I'll fly away, oh glory, I'll fly away. When I die, hallelujah, by and by, I'll fly away. Thank you. a land where joy shall never end. I'll fly away.
One day closer to the end of this ordeal. Hold on to hope. Go in peace to love and serve the Lord. Thanks be to God. Until next time.
Let it go, my love, my truest. Let it sail on silver wings. Life's a twinkling, that's for certain, but it's such a fine thing. There's a gathering of spirits, there's a festival of friends, and we'll take up where we left off when we all meet again. I can't explain it, I couldn't if I tried, how the only things we carry are the things we hold inside, like a day out in the open. Like the love we can't forget, like the laughter that we started at hasn't died down yet. Let it go, my love, my truest. Let it sail on silver wings. Life's a twinkling, that's for certain, but it's such a fine thing. There's a gathering of spirits, there's a festival of friends, and we'll take up where we left off when we all meet again. Oh yeah, now didn't we? And don't we make it shine? Aren't we standing in the center of something rare and fine? Some glow like embers, or light through colored glass. Some give it all in one great flame, throwing kisses as they pass.
Again.